Today's reading is going to be in the book of Mark, chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. Mark, chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days arise again. And he said this plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." So Jesus heals a blind man, and then as they continue on, he asks his disciples this question, "Who do people say that I am?" And I'm sure they've heard lots of discussion in this regard. Maybe while Jesus is doing things and they're following along, maybe they hear people talking, maybe they even have people that ask them questions and they're maybe afraid to ask Jesus. There's lots of situations in which they might hear some of this speculation about exactly who Jesus is. And so they get these varying responses of John the Baptist. Remember, we've talked about that before, that some thought that John the Baptist had come back to life. Others say Elijah. Likewise, there would be those that thought that Elijah was, you know, resurrected, come back to life. There were prophecies regarding the spirit of Elijah, so that may be leading to why they might make that statement. And then others just say a prophet or one of the prophets. And that's probably an easy, generic answer for somebody who didn't really know who Jesus was. They could just call him a prophet. And that would be kind of a blanket statement that would fit all sorts of things. But Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" Okay, so we've addressed what people say I am. Who do you say that I am? And Peter's usually one of those first ones to speak up and say something. And he says, "You are the Christ." And that's the right answer. It's the correct answer. And that's based on what he's seen, and that's based on what he's seen fulfilled, that's based on what he's been taught, and he makes that recognition. That's the recognition that any Jew of the time should have been able to make if they looked honestly at who Jesus was and what he was doing, along with the prophecies about him. So Peter makes this confession, and then he tells him not to tell anyone about him. It's the same thing we've been talking about with the miracles and the healings, is the idea of not building up that popularity too fast. He hasn't gotten everywhere he wants to go. He hasn't done everything he wants to do yet. And so he is controlling the popularity in the crowds, because once it reaches a fever pitch, if you will, like the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, then those that are in power, they're going to do something about it. That's going to be the tipping point. But right after this, right after Peter says, "You are the Christ," then Peter rebukes him. And it's interesting the way that this is stated. It says, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Remember, he's telling them, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected, and be killed, and after 3 days arise again. I can understand being confused. I can understand, you know, going around with Jesus as a disciple and then him making those statements and not wanting that to happen. But at the same time, to go so far as to take your mentor, your teacher, and take them aside after saying they were the Christ and knowing that the Christ is the Son of God, take them aside to rebuke them. I don't know. There's just something about that kind of, I don't understand with Peter, how he'd be that brave and how he'd be that forward about it. But I think that's also why Jesus is very forward back when he says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And I don't know if, you know, taking him aside, he still wasn't out of earshot of the rest of the disciples, but there seems to be this indication, verse 33, turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter. So they probably either saw what was going on and understood, or they could hear the discussion of what was going on. Either way, Jesus is responding just as boldly as Peter responded. And Peter needed to know in no uncertain terms that he'd crossed a line and that he wasn't thinking properly about the situation. And of course, we have other gospel accounts that give us a little bit more information. We've looked at those before. I encourage you to look those up and go read them. It might give you a little more insight, specifically over to the temptations that Peter was going to face. Now, thinking about people calling him John the Baptist or Elijah or a prophet, it's interesting that anybody would point to him being John the Baptist, because he presented himself very differently than John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist was out in the wilderness. You know, he had a weird diet. He had a weird way of dressing, you know, and he was proclaiming a similar message. But the way he presented himself was very different. And Jesus was even questioned on this, saying, you know, the disciples of John the Baptist fast, and yet your disciples don't. You know, why is that? So we see some differences between them. But I think that's just people trying to rationalize. And if you confess Jesus as Christ, like Peter did, then there is no room for any discussion. There's no room for anything, you know, any caveats. But now if somebody's a prophet or a teacher, then I think people think, well, okay, well, I've got room in here to insert my thoughts and maybe debate them a little bit. So maybe that's part of it. I don't know for sure. That's just, you know, a few thoughts that I have along the way. But let me ask you, have you ever tried to explain Jesus to somebody who really doesn't know anything about Jesus? I mean, I know in our country, it's a little bit odd for anybody to not know anything about Jesus. And there are many people that think they know a lot about Jesus that don't really know much at all. But have you ever tried to explain Jesus, the Christ, to someone from a blank page? How would you do that? How would you approach that? Maybe thinking about that for a little bit might give us a little bit of understanding of, you know, how people would try to grasp with who Jesus really was as he was going about this ministry. But we can make this question personal nonetheless and just say, you know, who do you say that Jesus is? You know, do we truly confess Jesus as Christ, accepting him as Lord and Savior, meaning that he has total rule and authority in my life, and that if I don't follow him, that I will face judgment for it? Do we truly accept him as being the one that brings the words of life, the things that we should follow, the training in righteousness? Or do we try to debate and argue? A lot of people want to debate and argue. Well, that's not really what he meant. Or they don't want to accept the apostles' preaching and say, well, that was just man's words, and we only have to, you know, go by the red letters in your Bible. Some people say that as well. But Jesus sent those apostles out in order to teach the world his gospel, his doctrine, and bring people into his church. And you have to accept their authority if you accept that they are sent by Jesus. So you do have to take that extension of the authority of Jesus. So who do you say that Jesus is? Is he truly Lord and Savior of your life? That's a vital question that we have to answer, and it's one that we have to think about. And so maybe today, what we can pray for is that we truly confess him in such a way that we can proclaim him to everybody else, and that people can see that I live my faith. That's what we need to think about for today. Let's make Jesus our Lord, our King, our Good Shepherd. Thank you for listening. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.